All right, we're in the book of Ezekiel still, and we're in chapter 45. We begin tonight, a new chapter. And who's the author of this book?
Ezekiel
himself, all right. And what has happened to the Jews during this time? Where are they?
Babylon,
okay. And now as Ezekiel looks forward in these later chapters, what is he picturing for us?
The end times,
and
taken back to the temple.
Back to the temple, and there's going to be a millennial temple, isn't it, built one of these days? And this temple is probably divided and described here. Let's begin by reading Ezekiel 45, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Moreover, when ye shall divide by lot the land for inheritance, ye shall offer an oblation unto the Lord, and holy portion of the land. The length shall be the length of 5 to 20,000 reeds, and breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all the borders thereof round about. Of this there shall be for the sanctuary 500 in length, with 500 in breadth, square round about, and 50 cubits round about for the suburbs thereof. And of this measure shall thou measure the length of 5 and 20,000, and the breadth of 10,000, and in it shall be the sanctuary and the most holy place. So how is this land going to be divided in the millennial reign of our Savior there in verse 1? By lot. What is lot? What does that mean? How did they do that?
Straw?
Any other thing in Scripture that was done by lot to read about? What was it?
Matthias,
yes. They're trying to pick out whether that was true or not, right or wrong. I think they sort of rushed things. They didn't wait for the Holy Spirit, but it was by lot. They just had two choices. Is it this one or this one? And whoever won, that was the one that the Lord had chosen. But by lot, it's just a sort of a guess, or you put the, maybe two balls in there, pick the white ball or whatever, whatever. If you have the black ball, the white ball. Yes, Lot?
Wasn't Jesus wrong?
Did they cast lot? Yes, they cast lot for his robe. That's right, absolutely. So it was by the land for inheritance. Now, what...
During that storm that Jonah was involved in,
yes.
Lots were involved.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Who's the one that caused the storm? And so this is how they did it. Now, they divided the land according to what means by lot, but how do they apportion it? Who's going to be in these different portions by lot? What is it? Well, that's true, but what people are involved in this?
The Jews.
The Jews, and how many tribes are to be apportioned here? 12 tribes, and of course the Levites will be in between, but 12 tribes, and that will be a portion. Now notice, they're going to be, in the millennial reign of Christ, there's going to be a huge, huge place for these Jews. How many thousand reeds long will this place be?
25,000.
Now a reed is 6 cubits, or 9 feet, 4 to 5,000 feet, 42.6 miles. Now, that's how long this, that's a huge place. Can the Jews, do they occupy 42 miles of anything at this time? 42.6 miles, according to my calculations. So 6 cubits, or which 9 feet is a reed, you divide by 9 times 5, you get 405,000 feet, divided by that 250 feet, you get 42.6 miles. And then what's the breadth of this holy place where the Israelites are going to be?
18,000
feet, 10,000 reeds. Or 3.4 miles. So it's going to be 42 miles by 3 miles, the holy place where the Jews are going to be settled in that holy land in Palestine. Now that's I take it literally. I mean, God's going to do it. He's promised to do it. And that's what's going to happen. And if you sell that to Jews right now or anybody over there in Israel, why, everybody's trying to put them narrower, more narrow, trying to push in the land. See, even the United States. That's sad to say. They have made a deal with, say, all right, go ahead and give this land to the Arabs and give this land. No, God has given the whole land. One day he's going to give it to them in the millennial reign. He'll have these huge plates, 42 miles by 3 miles. Then notice verse 2, the sanctuary. How big is that going to be in length? 500, all right, 500 cubits or reeds rather. That'd be 4,500 feet or 1,500 yards. How many yards in a football field? How many yards? 100 yards. So 15 football fields in length. And how about the square roundabout? How many yards? That'll be square, that's right. So then how about the for the suburbs, how many yards would that be, or cubits?
50.
50 cubits, which would be 150 yards. So these are some of the measurements, huge measurements. And then verse 3 it talks about, again, the 5 and 20,000, the breadth 10,000, the sanctuary and the most holy place. So there's going to be plenty of room for the Lord's people that will be in the land and also in the temple area, the sanctuary and holy place. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. The holy portion of the land shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, which shall come near to minister unto the Lord. And it shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. And the 5 and 20,000 of length and the 10,000 in breadth shall also be the Levites, the ministers of the house, have for themselves for a possession for 20 chambers. And ye shall appoint the possession of the city 5,000 broad and 25,000 long, over against the oblation of the holy portion. It shall be for the whole house of Israel. All right, verse 4, the holy portion will be for which group?
For the priests.
Now, what will be true of these priests as far as salvation is concerned? They're going to be saved. They're going to come to the Lord. Nations will be born in a day, as it says in the prophecy. And these will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say in Matthew 23? Remember that? You shall not see me until you say what? Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so they will return. A nations will be born in a day, as it were, and they will come to Christ and be saved. And so these priests, even though the sacrifices of the Old Testament will point backwards, just like the sacrifices of the Old Testament pointed forward, so these will point backwards in commemoration, but they'll be saved. Priests and ministers of the sanctuary come near to minister, holy places for their houses in the sanctuary. Then in verse 5, again, we have this 20,000 of the reeds, 42.6 miles as far as the length, and 10,000 breadth, 3 miles again for the... Who is that going to be for?
The Levites.
Now, how are the Levites related to the priests? Or the priests related to the Levites? What is it?
Through Aaron.
That's right. And who's what?
Priests of Aaron.
Priests?
Are from Aaron.
Are from Aaron. And who's greater, the number of priests or the number of Levites? Number of Levites. Now, the Levites is a huge tribe, and of that, one of the families of Aaron would be the priest, and so the priestly family. But they have 42 miles by 3 miles for the Levites for possession of 20 chambers. Then in verse 6, there's going to be another holy portion of 5,000 broad, which is 8 miles, 8.5 miles, and 5,000 long, 42 miles. So we've got 8 miles by 42 miles, you've got all these huge, huge places. Now, and if we were starting here in Collingswood and going 42 miles north, where would we likely end up? Do you have any idea? Hamilton? North?
North.
Oh, yeah, north. You go down south and maybe Hamilton. How about north? What is it? About Trenton. See, that's the length of the land that we have. Now, the land of Israel is north and south. If you take the measurements here of Palestine, here is the, here is over here. 100 miles is from zero over to 200 miles, right there's 100 miles. And 42 miles would be right here, set roughly like that, so this is 50 miles. So that would be about maybe an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches would be 50 miles. So you just have in Jerusalem, an inch up here, that would be 42 miles, see? And wide, what's the width of it? About 3 miles wide, see? So we got plenty of room for it. It's possible to do, but in order for it to do it, it would take a miracle of the Lord, because the Lord Jesus being reigned as a supreme reign, a ruler, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he will perform it, if not.
I mean, what's going in this mileage?
Well, it's going to be first for the holy portion for the Lord. It's going to be some places for the priests and some places for the Levites. And then in the verse number 6, the following will be for the whole house of Israel. So that will be the entire 12 tribes, plus Levites. Well, if you figure 42 miles by 3 miles, that's quite a city. All the way up to Trenton, I mean, you can find a lot of people in there. That depends on how many in each tribe.
How big is Jacksonville? Ask Jacksonville, Colin, and tell
me. Diane, how big is Jacksonville? How many people? How long is it? Yeah, Jacksonville. The north and south and east and west. I think you call us and tell us that. I appreciate that.
All right, maybe Diane will call up, and 856-261-9018. And, but if you go from here to Trenton, that's a long, long way. You get plenty of people in there. I don't know what, Diane?
So is this just the city and not the entire possession, not the entire country of Israel?
It would be the, it'd be one of the places where they would dwell, the living place, but he's going to have lots of land. In fact, the whole desert here is going to be blossom as the rose, it says in the book of Isaiah. And so the thing will be different, the topography will be different, the land will go way up to this whole great, this is for the holy place, and the special place for the priests and the Levites, and worship will be there at that place. So that's at least some of the dimensions, which are huge in my judgment. Let's go on then to verse number 7, 8, and 9, and read those portions together. Verse 7, and a portion shall be for the prince, on the one side and on the other side, of the oblation of the holy portion, and of the possession of the city, before the oblation of the holy portion, and before the possession of the city, from the west side westward, and from the east side eastward, and the length shall be over against one of the portions, from the west border unto the east border. And the land shall be of his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people. And the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel, according to their tribes. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. So in verse number 7, there's going to be a portion for whom here?
Prince.
The prince. What would a prince be?
Son of
the king. The son of the king and the leader. Mm-hmm. And when Dan taught the class a couple weeks ago, what did you decide possibly this prince that should enter into the eastern gate might be?
Maybe Jesus.
Maybe the Lord Jesus himself. That eastern gate has been closed, and one day it will be open. The Lord Jesus himself will come through that. But the prince on one side or the other will have it. Then in verse number 8, it's going to be a possession in Israel. Now, do the Jews, the Muslims, do they want Israel to be in the Palestine area?
No.
Does Iran want the Jews in Palestine? Does Iraq? Do any of the Muslim countries want Israel there? What have they pledged to do to Israel? Kill them, push them into the sea. You see, but God has other plans.
Mm-hmm.
Sovereign, powerful, omnipotent God has other plans for the nation of Israel. And that's one of the things that's been talked about in this political scene.
Yeah,
just today with Obama. And this man, who was it that's backing Obama? Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. What about Farrakhan? What is his position with Israel? What does he want to do with Israel?
Destroy
him, absolutely. And so he hates them as a passion. Not only that, but he hates white people too. I mean, he's against everybody almost. And Farrakhan, he's for Obama. And Obama said of him, he's uniting the Negro people, united this country. What sort of thing is that? He said that today in a speech. I heard it. How can a man who hates the Jews and hates a lot of other people be a uniting factor? See, he has big rallies. Well, anyhow, the thing was, what are we going to do with Israel? Now, one of the Israeli senators, I think a congressman today, also spoke. He's one of Obama's people. He said, well, Obama likes the Jews, and he's all right there. So I hope that it's true. But a lot of people want to kill them and destroy them and move them out. But God's going to make a difference. The lands will be a possession, it says in verse number 8, in Israel. My princes, so now notice in verse number 8, what does God say about the princes, plural? Which would be what? Princes would be referring probably to whom? Leaders of the people, whether kings or other rulers, those that are in charge. We have princes or people in charge in our country. We have mayors, we have governors in states, we have presidents and various others in the nation. And what does God say about these princes in verse number 8? Not going to oppress. What does it mean to oppress people? Push down. What were they doing throughout the time before they went into the Babylonian captivity for 70 years, some of these leaders?
Taxing?
Oh, they were taxing. They were...
Taxing?
Was it?
No.
Not slavery? Well, they were really apparently doing a lot of things. And why do we know that they were doing bad things? What two words in this verse number 8 tells us they were doing bad things in the past?
No more.
No more. Which implies what?
They were before.
They were before, absolutely. And no more oppress my people. Now, leaders can do a lot of things to impress people. What about the leaders in Egypt? Did they do any impressing of God's people?
Oh, yeah.
What did they do to oppress God's people?
Made
the slavery.
Killed the firstborn.
The Lord did that, but they were
destroying.
Taxing, they were destroying, and they didn't
well,
take
the... The leader wanted, there were too many...
They wanted to kill the babies, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
That's right, as far as that's concerned. The Lord finally judged them with the selling the slave.
That's why Moses was put in the basket, in the
ark. And so they oppressed the people. They wanted to go out of Egypt. Got out of Egypt into the wilderness, and because they wanted to go to the wilderness, what did the Pharaoh say concerning
him?
Yeah, he didn't want them to go, that's for sure. And so these people are thinking about going into sacrifice in the wilderness, so they have too much to think about. So instead of giving them the wood to build the buildings, what did they do? Get their own cells to make the brick. So they had their own, get their own straw all over the land, The tail of bricks, or the total quantity, was what?
The same.
They had to go. So they oppressed them very seriously. So no more oppressive cases.
They
beat them, that's true. There was a very serious, rigorous, and they served with rigor. In fact, Moses prayed to the Lord, Lord, deliver us. Did Moses think he was going to be the one to deliver Israel?
No,
he didn't. It was a surprise to him. Who am I? His objections? But God said, I'm going to use you, Moses. And he said, I can't speak. And what did God say? To take care of that argument. I'm going to help you with the tongue. That's right. Who else did he say? I got Aaron, your brother. He's all right. I'll talk to you, and you talk to Aaron. Aaron will talk to the people. Too. Everything. There's no excuses, but God wanted his people no more to be oppressed. And in verse 8, the rest of the land I'll give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. So it's according to the tribes they're going to be apportioned out. Now, we've been reading in our daily Bible reading schedule the apportionment of the tribes as they went into the land of promise. What did God say about the number of, the size of the land compared to the people? What did he say? What was the requirement? What was the proportion? All these 12 tribes.
It's according to how much land they needed.
That's right. If the larger number of people in the tribes, the larger number of square miles of land.
Mm-hmm.
And the smaller, the smaller. So this is the proportion. I'm sure this will be the same thing here. They have according to their tribes. Larger tribes, more land. Lesser tribes, lesser land. And then in verse number 9, the Lord speaks directly to what group of people?
The princes.
The princes, these rulers. And again, what does he say? What does he command them?
No violence and spoil.
No violence and spoil. Just stop all this wickedness and oppression. You remember what the reaction was when Solomon died and his son Rehoboam took over? What was the reaction for the people of Rehoboam? What did Rehoboam do first of all? Did he ask counsel?
Mm-hmm.
And who did he ask counsel of first of all?
The older men.
The older men. What did they say?
They said, lighten up.
Lighten up. No, not oppressive taxation. Then who else did he go for counsel?
His friends. Co-workers.
His friends, his co-workers, his young people that grew up with him. What did they say?
Tax.
Tax. Oppress. Don't do exactly what these princes are going to do here. And God says, no more, so you oppress. No more violence, no more spoil. Taxing, but as a result of that, what happened to the tax collectors when they went out to tax the people? They were killed. The Lord slew them, the people slew them, and they were killed because that was not the way God wanted. So as a result, that's just the historical, no more. In the past, that's what they did. As a result, God split the kingdom. 10 tribes to 2 tribes. Who had the more? Jeroboam or Rehoboam?
Jeroboam
had the 10, and Rehoboam had the 2. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, but because he was wrong in his judgment, didn't listen to the old gray-headed people that were the counselors, listen to these young people, the Lord took away most of his people. So, remove the violence. What's the second thing God told these princes or leaders in verse number 9? Execute judgment and justice. What does it mean? What does judgment and justice refer to? How would you define those two terms?
Be fair.
Be fair, all right. Is judgment and justice as we give it today always fair?
No.
Apparently not. But it should be fair.
Is that
a
statue with the
Bible? Yes, the one that...
No, that is justice.
No, that's now, what is the picture there of the justice in the Supreme Court? It's blind. What does she have in her hand? Balances. What does that mean?
Equal,
fair, so it's not one way or the other. And that's the way it should be. And so execute judgment and justice. That's what our... Yes, Anne?
They say that justice is blind.
Yeah, that's what it should be. Justice is blind, that picture of it. And I guess it's on the Supreme Court, is it not? The picture of this, the statue of the blindness and this balances. But we've got to execute judgment and justice. Now, our state, for example, I believe is contrary to the will of God, our state of New Jersey, because they've been joined one of the, I guess we have about 10 or 12 or 14 states that have done away with capital punishment. And all of a sudden, there was no more slaying of the first degree murder, which is in Scriptures, the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, very clearly, New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 13, very clearly, he beareth not the sword in vain. Now we've got to up and decided no more capital punishment. This man that committed such a heinous murder of his wife and the little baby that was still inside of her
in Ohio.
It was supposed to be a capital case, but they didn't have anything about it. There was murder. They're certainly open, but they just went ahead and give him life imprisonment. So justice and judgment. We're reading this today in our Bible reading today in the book of Numbers, today or yesterday. And God says very clearly, I realize it's Old Testament, the principles are different than New Testament, but it's clear as to what the Lord wants in that, and then you take away the, you put away the, New, you put in the New Testament sense of Numbers, or rather Romans chapter 13, about the justice and judgment. The Old Testament is very clear. He that kills a person with purpose, he will go to the city of refuge, and they will decide what's going to happen. See, has to be just, has to be judged and justice. And if you murder, you kill with malice aforethought, purpose to kill somebody, you will be killed. That's Old Testament. I'm just talking about Old Testament justice. You'll be killed. You'll take no satisfaction for murder. If it's accidental, if you throw a stone and happens to hit someone, it didn't bring me in, you still go to the city of refuge, three on the east side of Jordan, three on the west side, and you have to stay in that city till the death of the high priest. So that's long, even if it's accidental death, because blood is a very serious, it contaminates the whole man. And if you go outside that city of refuge, the slayer of blood, the one who you've killed, the relative, can kill you without any penalty, whatever. Remember, there's somebody that did go outside the city. Remember Shimei?
Mm-hmm.
Shimei who cursed David? Go down on a bald head, different thing. Some of us got some bald head, that's right. But was he not the bald head? Oh, those are the little children. Those are the children. Okay, pardon me. But they cursed him, and they said, what did they say to David? Got the bald head in a different situation. What did the people say? Shimei, what did he say concerning David?
Called him a bloody man.
Bloody man. Okay, they gave him a sort of insult, and the people wanted to kill him. David said, no, I'm going to kill him. So in his son's time, during Solomon's day, Shimei was trying to behave himself. What did Solomon tell him to do?
Stay in the city.
You go out of the city, what's going to happen to you?
Going
to be killed. Did he stay in the city?
No.
He lost some animal or something, went out after him, and lo and behold, he was slain. So that's Old Testament. It's an illustration of justice. In the New Testament, when you read in Romans 13, where you have the powers that be ordained of God. And what is the ruler supposed to do? For those that do good, you're supposed to have the praise of the ruler. Those that do evil, you're supposed to condemn. And for he beareth not the sword in vain. A sword, the Machaira, the 6 to 18 inch sword, which is used for capital punishment, the beheading. He doesn't bear that in vain. In other words, capital punishment is there. In fact, Paul said it, and when he was being tried before the Jews in Jerusalem, he says, if I have done that which is worthy of death, I refuse not to die. So in other words, there's death penalty even in the New Testament. But anyway, but justice and judgment many times flee away. Our judges always know everything about the facts of the case. No, they do not. And we have the pluses and the minuses. You have the prosecuting side, you have the defense side, and they try to bring up things. There can't always be justice. Now, with the DNA, however, it's been helpful, at least on some of the murder cases, is it not? In fact, some of the people who were accused of murder, because of the DNA, they couldn't possibly have done that in their release. We want justice to be done in all areas. And I'd rather be very careful on anything. We should always have judgment and justice. And apparently the princes were oppressing the people. They were violently spoiling the people. What does spoil mean? Could be steal from it, despoil, despoil, absolutely. And judgment, and what else does God tell them not to do in verse number 9? What is an exaction? Take away your exactions. What is an exaction? It might be it. What is it?
3D.
Forced payment and extortion. In other words, money that are exacting from people wrongfully. Yes, Anna?
I told the words about Shimei.
Go ahead, tell us about Shimei. 2
Samuel 16:7.
All right.
And thus said Shimei when he cursed, Come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, whose dead thou hast slain. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man.
So the bloody man, so the bald headed man, bloody man, it's the children of the bald head. Okay, that was, I guess, of Elijah, was it?
Elijah.
Okay, Elijah.
Elisha.
Elisha, isn't it?
Because it was
okay, good. Got that all set. So God says, don't steal money from the people, and that's what the exactions were. Money from the people, said the Lord, and that's what they were not to do. Oh, we're going to pause. Let's just read 10, 11, and 12, and we'll stop at those things. Let's read 10, 11, and 12 again. Ye shall have just balances, a just ephah, a just bath. The ephah and the bath shall be one measure, and the bath may contain the tenth part of an omer, and the ephah of the tenth part of an omer, the measure thereof shall be after the omer, and the shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 5 and 20 shekels, 15 shekels shall be your men. All right, verse number 10. Just balances means what? Fair. And what does a balance do in this case? What do we use balances today?
Measure mass.
Measure mass. The old timers used to have a balance. Now we have a, what do we use now?
Scale.
Scale. And how do we use scales these days?
Weigh food.
Weigh food. What kind of food might you put on a scale, for instance?
Potatoes.
What is it?
Grain.
Grain. What else?
Potatoes.
Potatoes. Produce. I go once in a while over to the store, and I
all the time.
Well, once in a while, every other time. I'm talking about a particular thing I use a scale for. I go see, sometimes there's nothing always want to go with me, but I go myself. You don't have to go to the store. But when I go on occasion, I get some turkey. Get sliced turkey, which we like turkey. And so I say, I put it up there, she puts that on the scale. All right. I usually take 3 pounds, a pound each, pound, and that's what she slices it up. She weighs it on the scale. Now, what if that scale were unjust? What would happen to me?
I get cheated.
I think it's a pound. Instead of a pound, it's maybe 3/4 or 1/2 pound. See? Dan?
Or it could be unjust to the people who work at the store. They might really be giving you 3 1/4 pounds.
And that's right. And that would be unjust for the other people. But you see, that's why we have, isn't there a picture in Washington, D.C. about square? Weights and measures. There's a whole bureau.
Department
of Weights and Measures. So they'll be exacting. That's what God wants to adjust. And then, very briefly, the ephah. Now, that's about a bushel and 3 pints, according to some individuals. So you have to have a just ephah. A bushel and 3 pints, not 2 pints, not 1 pint. Ephah. A just bath. Now, that's about 8 gallons. About 8 gallons. That's the bath. Make sure it's 8, not 7 or 5. And then contain the tenth part of an omer. Now, omer is about 86 gallons. So 86 gallons, and half of that, a tenth of that would be 8 gallons, 8.6 gallons. So that's the ephah. And then notice verse 12, the shekel, 20 gerahs. That's about 11.2 grains, or grams, grains, it's grains, of, I guess it's silver. And 20 shekels, 5 and 20 shekels, and then should be your manna, about a 60th of a talent. So we may not understand all these details of what these things are, but these portions must be just. And God is a God of justice. He wants us to be honest in what we do, and everything should be just exactly according to Him. So these are some of the things that we've taken up in our study today, and it's that God wants us to be always doing that which is just, and we should, if we're ruling over anybody, if we're princes or leaders, like these princes, are not to oppress people. People in authority oftentimes abuse the authority, abuse everything going on. It's a bad situation. And we have to have justice in all we do and do what we can. But God's going to take care of this millennium, and he's going to take care of Jerusalem. He's going to make room for his people one of these days when the Lord Jesus comes back. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. The rapture of the church is 6-7 years before that ever happens. The believers are going to be taken out of this world, and then the judgment of God on these 7 years. And after that, the Lord Jesus will come back, and his feet shall touch the Mount of Olives, and he will usher in the millennial reign of Christ. And this is a picture of all these things. Large place in Palestine, and his people will have plenty of room. And we will be with Christ, those of us who are saved, and reign with him 1,000 years. Do you have any other comments or questions before we close tonight? Yes, Bob?
This is
Juan
for Pavada.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Go ahead. This is the Herod's Temple.
Yes, on the left, these two pictures. We wondered, you know, because someone gave us those pictures, what were they? And Mrs. Wanover said both of them are Herod's Temple. The bottom picture is the night scene, and you see that's blown up with those pillars. Over the top one there, you see those way up on the right, top right, you see the same pillars, but a lot of distant view, see. So that's Herod's Temple at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod built the temple after when Solomon's temple was completely wiped out by Titus in 70 A.D., he rebuilt that in the time of, well, whenever Herod was ruling and reigning. And so that's what that is, the temple there. Any other?
Pray for Jenny.
That's right, we should pray for Jenny Johnson also. We should pray for her. She's the one that has gotten this accident. And she's in the hospital right now in, what's the city?
Niagara,
New York.
She broke her arm in two places.
Broke her arm in two places, and she was helping us. In fact, she was going to come to help us to clean today, but she wasn't able to. She's in the hospital. Yeah.
Can you just say it was after Titus that Herod rebuilt the temple?
No. I'm saying after Titus destroyed the temple of Solomon in 70 A.D., Emperor Titus. He's one of the Roman emperors.
What, Solomon's temple in 70 A.D. was destroyed?
Well, no, that was Herod's temple was destroyed. Thank you for reminding me. Solomon's temple was destroyed earlier, in the early part, I should say. Thank you for the correction. It was destroyed.
She's our resident scholar.
That was destroyed. Solomon's temple was destroyed when the Jews were taken into captivity in Babylon. Mm-hmm. He just wiped out that whole temple. So Herod, when he came, rebuilt that temple of Solomon, and then Herod's temple was destroyed by Titus in 70 A.D. Now we got the chronology right. Is that right, Anna?
Yeah, but what happened to Zerubbabel's temple?
Well, that was the temple that was built by Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi after the Babylonian captivity of 70 years. They came back and built the foundation, the walls, and then the temple. And that was the temple that was Zerubbabel's temple. So you got Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple, then Herod's temple, and then the Millennium Temple after that. Any other comments or questions on that? We got it straightened out. Anna?
When was Zerubbabel's temple destroyed?
Well, when the Jews, get our thinking caps on, Zerubbabel came back and the Jews went into captivity and 70 A.D.
Is that the Maccabees?
The Maccabees time, yes, I think so. In other words, when the southern Jew tribes went into captivity there in Babylon, the northern Jew tribes went into Assyrian captivity, they destroyed the temple of Zerubbabel.
It's
getting worse. Then when they came back after the 70 years, they had Zerubbabel's temple. And then during the Maccabean period, 400 silent years from Malachi to Matthew, it was deteriorating, it destroyed, something happened to it. And I don't know the details of it, but all I know is...
They just renovated and expanded?
Herod? Probably. They probably rebuilt it in some way. They expanded it, refurbished it. I'm not an architect, nor do I know much about these temples, as it's very clearly seen. But
you do very well. I'm so dazed, it sounds good.
Any other comments or questions or clarifications?
Second Samuel 23, verse 2, just to kind of get back to what we were talking about.
Second Samuel, what is it?
23, verse 3.
Okay.
David speaking. He says, "The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel say to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God."
Very good verse. On the justice and balances and equity. And that's where we don't have too much on the case. We're not a just 23, verse 3. Thank you. It's very good. And God wants judgment and justice, and that's where we'll have when the Lord Jesus comes. Remember Solomon, he was wise, and remember the two women, one had the baby, and it was hers, prostitutes. And what did Solomon say to do to the baby, to see who was the mummy? Cut it in half. Was that a good decision or a bad decision? Did he find out who the mother was?
Yes.
How did he find it out?
Don't do that.
What did he say?
Mother said, don't do that. Give them to the other woman.
But first of all, what did he suggest to do?
Give it to the other person.
But what did he suggest should be done to that baby?
Cut in half.
Cut in half.
And then half for each.
Half for each. The real mother said what?
No.
No, the other mother said what?
Do it.
Do it. So there's certain ways that God gives the wisdom. Terrible. But neither of them were fit, but they had at least a love for children. Unlike the mothers that kill their babies in abortion, some almost 1.5 million every year on the average. Any other comments or questions? Okay, we're certainly say hello to the Pastor and Mrs. Willis as they've been with us here. And wonder, Willis, if you close in a word of prayer. Go ahead, please, sir.
Yes, sir, be happy. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us and how that was shown for us upon the cross of Calvary, the giving of your Son. We thank you for your word that we have to guide us and give us direction in our life, that we might be live in such a way to bring you honor and glory. Help us now, we ask, as we leave this place, give us safety. Help us to be the testimony that we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming.